Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dr. Most, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Dean. I'm doing great. Anybody not doing well in a day like today needs to get outside.
So. Well, that is for sure. It is beyond gorgeous yesterday and today both. So from the moment that I heard the news about the ruling that came down regarding booster shots, that they are only going to be endorsed for people who are over 65 or those with high risk of severe disease, all I could think of was, I wonder what Kevin thinks about all of this, because you've been pretty vocal about saying that you thought we all, you know, are going to need a booster at some point.
Yeah, you know, and I still do. When obviously when the ruling came down, there was a lot of conversation about it. You know, once they recommended against the approval for everybody, we certainly were keeping our fingers crossed and hope that they would come back with a recommendation, at least for the ones that they did. Because we have to remember that that group probably didn't get the immune response from the vaccine that many of us did. So glad that they made that comment and glad that they did that. And I think, you know, the White House got out a little bit ahead of this. And you talk about confusion. You know, the Vaccine Advisory Committee was only looking at Pfizer. So now it's like, wait a second, why don't we wait until the data for Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson, right, so we can have a global decision?
Right. And will that happen? Will there be, decisions coming out on the others anytime soon?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if everybody understands, the reason that they met on Friday is Pfizer made a request for this booster dose. Moderna, I am sure, will do the same, probably within the next month as they get the rest of their data. And I would assume Johnson & Johnson will do the same. So it's a matter of Johnson & Johnson will be the last to the dance, and that'll probably be a few months from now. But certainly they're all going to make their case based on the science that they have, that the antibodies and the protection does wane post X number of days based on whatever they find.
So the booster shot, as I understand it, is I don't want to say simply the same thing that, you know, we've already got, presuming that you have already gotten both of your vaccinations, that it's the same thing. It's not anything different like our flu vaccines that we would get would change a little bit every year, depending on, what the new strains were. So it's not really something that is specifically addressing Delta or Lambda or the other variants that we know are out there right now, right?
Correct. Yeah, 100%. And, you know, this is a fast-moving train. It's trying to, like, change the tires on a moving car. So certainly they didn't have the time to do any study on a Delta variant vaccine that they may be working on. So they're certainly going with this. And from a logistics point of view, it makes it so much easier to distribute the doses so that you can't give the wrong dose to somebody. Certainly, we're going to be looking in the future of, is this going to be an annual shot along with our flu shot? Moderna and Pfizer are both looking at that right now to making a joint shot with COVID and the influenza vaccine. Those are being tested this fall. So that could be the future for us.
The state of Israel started distributing its booster shots this past July, quite a while ago. And all the health officials there are saying, you know, it's like a fresh vaccine. It's dampening severe cases from a possible fourth wave. What are they doing? What do they know that is not happening here?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, Israel, we've always looked to Israel as kind of I don't want to say a source of truth, but they have excellent data. They have a really good health system that really monitors and controls all this. And like you said, they started their boosters in July as they started to see this fourth wave. And their responses to it were great. Hospitalizations were down. Their definition of a severe illness and ours are totally different. So that's how we have to be careful saying, oh, we saw this big decrease in severe cases. in order to be called a severe case in Israel, all you had to do is have an increased respiratory rate. In other words, you were breathing faster than normal and a pulse oximetry at 94% or lower, where we had, you had to be hospitalized. So although it's good data, we got to make sure we're not comparing apples to oranges.
773 area code is asking why people with natural immunity need a shot. Presuming people who, I assume they mean somebody who has had COVID who then has a natural immunity. Because, I mean, that wanes as well, doesn't it? The natural immunity.
Well, absolutely, it wanes as well. And we don't have enough data on that to track those who had COVID to see how the natural immunity works. Plus, as we talked in the past, if you think about this, you can have COVID from a point of being almost asymptomatic to being on a ventilator in the hospital. So the spectrum of this illness is quite huge. So we can't say, boy, you got COVID, we expect your immune response to do this, because it is such a wide variance. Whereas with a vaccine, we know exactly what we gave you. We know exactly what to check. We have a lot of people out there that probably had mild COVID cases and didn't know it. But certainly getting vaccinated after COVID has certainly shown that it's going to give you a great immune response, very similar to what you saw, Dean.
Right. The so as it stands right now, if you're over 65, you can go and get your booster shot. If you are immune compromised in some way, you can go and get your booster shot. What does that mean exactly? People with severe illness or people who are immune compromised? Who does that include?
Yeah, so what they're looking at right now is individuals who may be taking drugs that make them immunocompromised. In other words, the rheumatoid arthritis patients who take some drugs that'll do that. Individuals who may have asthma and are on steroids. We know that steroids will decrease their immune system. And then again, over the age of 65, just like we said in the past, even for influenza, those over the age of 65, we want to give them that HD, that high dose vaccine, because we know their immune response is not as great. So although we're calling this, people are calling it a booster, actually for these individuals, it's their third shot. And it's not splitting hairs, but what it's saying is this is the third shot that they need to catch up to the immune response that all of us younger, healthier people may have had. Those individuals may need a fourth shot as a booster, but certainly we want to get their immune response, especially for that vulnerable population, be it nursing home, healthcare workers, those who are really going to be potentially impacted.
Is it possible to test one's immunity? In other words, can I go in and get a blood test and go, you know, it's like checking my oil on the car. Some cars need a little extra oil and some don't.
Right. So this is the confusing part for many people, because if you remember Tom Hanks' wife, Rita Wilson, came out and said, oh, my antibodies have dropped down after they were both infected. But we all have to remember that there's two different things. There's circulating antibodies. In other words, I draw your blood right now and I can find antibodies. But we also have these things called B and T memory cells. And those are the ones that remember what they've been exposed to. And they make antibodies when they're exposed to that. Mm. So it's difficult to say, boy, my antibodies are down, therefore I'm not immune. No, you should have B and T cells that are ready on the sidelines for an exposure to a virus, whatever virus it is, and they're going to start to make antibodies to protect you.
So I was picking up a prescription the other day. And I go to the pharmacist to get the prescription, and they go, do you want to get your flu shot? Which in years past, it was like, yeah, why not? Sure. I've had my flu shot at the pharmacy in the past. But this time I thought, I'm not 100% sure how things are going to interact with one another, you know, given with my, you know, vaccinations, with that I did have COVID. A year ago in November, is it okay to just get your flu shot, like that? Or is that something that you really should talk to your doctor, look at your history before you go ahead and do that?
No, absolutely. We want to make sure everybody gets their influenza shot now. And you can even get your influenza and COVID shot at the exact same time. So certainly we don't want people to be hesitant. Now, that being said, I still, here it is September 19th, I still look at, more like October before I really start pushing for flu shots, but certainly they're available now. And people say, well, you know, we had such a slow flu season last year. And I agree. But unfortunately, you know, if you look right now, Georgia, Texas, those, they're already seeing cases of influenza, which we didn't see at all last year. So certainly we have to make sure that everybody does get their flu shots this year to dampen that. Because I'll tell you, the hospitals are plenty busy. We don't need individuals with influenza being hospitalized.
Okay, very good. Let me take a break. We'll come back and get to your questions for Dr. Kevin Most, 312-981-7200. Patty is on the line with a question. Good morning. You're on WGN.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Dr. Most, this question has probably been asked a million times, but I am a senior, soon to be 74. I had my last Pfizer vaccination in February, the beginning of February, and I have been told to get the third booster, which I will, but I'm confused. Should I get it now, or do I need to wait till like the 8th month, which would be in October?
Patty, again, you hit on a very key point. Because if you remember, the words of 5 months and 8 months came out of the White House, not the FDA. The FDA is actually saying that seniors should be getting that third dose at least 28 days after their second dose. So it is almost immediate now. So certainly anybody who got it back in February, you should get it now. But going forward, we're going to be giving that third dose 28 to 30 days after that second dose. We're not going to be waiting months. So certainly, again, this was the White House wording versus the FDA and CDC. So certainly everyone now, the seniors that probably got vaccinated in January and February, should all be getting that third shot now.
Patty, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Are we going to have the same kind of trouble, Kevin, with finding some place to get booster shots, third vaccinations? Because a lot of the places that were set up for vaccinations now have closed.
Correct. You know, we went from that concept of let's do mass vaccination sites where we knew and we had good control of the vaccine when it was limited. Now we've gone the opposite direction and say, let's push this into the communities and get it close to individuals' homes so that we can make it more convenient for them. So when we first started, you had mass vac sites. You didn't have the ability to walk into any Walgreens or CVS or your doctor's office to get the vaccination or immediate care centers. Now that's what we've done is said, okay, mass vax is done, pushing into the communities for those who have been hesitant so that it can be more local for them and easier for them to get it. And that would be the same with the third shots and the boosters.
A lot of people on our text line asking questions. If I had Moderna, can I get a Pfizer booster and vice versa? If I had a Pfizer original, can my booster be Moderna? Can you swap around like that?
Yeah, you know, the recommendation right now is to stay with the same manufacturer. However, do not delay, you know, if you're a senior, do not delay waiting or trying to find that other one. Certainly, you're going to try to stay within the same manufacturer because that's where the studies have been done. There was a study done in Britain that showed switching them on purpose actually did quite fine. But I think out of convenience and out of standardization here in the United States, we're going to do that. That being said, this does not include the Johnson & Johnson individuals. Johnson & Johnson, we need to wait for the data to see if it's another Johnson & Johnson. So Moderna and Pfizer, much clearer as to the booster shot than we would be with Johnson & Johnson.
Here's Beth. You're on WGN with Dr. Kevin Most.
Hi, Dr. Most. Quick question. We have tickets to the Ryder Cup practice round on Thursday. Two adults in their late 70s, one adult early 50s. Everyone's vaccinated. But with the event being, I think, 45,000 attendees, no masking except inside tents. Just wondering if you could comment on the exposure risk and if you'd even recommend masking outside in the course or in the stands or if the risk is viewed to be low. I know that you've been at different PGA events, and we never really hear anything in the news if golf events are viewed to be a source of spread for COVID.
Yep. So, Beth, you make a really good point and very interesting point when you said the word stands. I've said that repeatedly now about professional football and college football. You get all these individuals there. Certainly, for the going to the Ryder Cup, I would say two things. One, you're not going to park on the ground, so you're going to be bussed in. So certainly have a mask there and mask when you're indoors. And the nice thing about the Ryder Cup, you are going to be on a large piece of property. So being able to physically distance from others is going to be fine. I would be kind of careful, though, about who you're around and try, you know, for individuals who are going to be watching the Ryder Cup, you'll see a lot of individuals packed together. You know, this is an opportunity to use the land that you have and still gain the experience that you have, because this is one tournament that there's a lot more yelling and screaming than regular PGA Tour events. So I would stay away from the stands. I would get to a point where you can be mobile, and then just be careful who you're around, and then wear the mask on the bus back and forth to your car.
Yeah, it sounds like wearing the mask, except maybe unless you're eating or drinking something. I would just play it safe if it was me. Does that sound reasonable? If you can, well, if you can stand wearing the mask that long.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's people. It's going to be towards their comfort. But if you're outside and you're a group and you're walking with a group that's five people, and you know all five of them are vaccinated, and you're outdoors right on the lake, you know, I think that you could be comfortable taking it off while you're mobile. But like you said, when you're in line for food, when you're in other areas in the stands, then I certainly would be, just like I would say to anybody going to the Bears game today.
Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Central DuPage Hospital. Enjoy your Sunday, Kevin. Thank you so much, as always.
Great. And Beth, bring home a winner for us. The United States needs to win this Ryder Cup, so make sure you bring home a winner.
You can see where his real passions lie.